Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio. From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So much better introduction this week. Now I've got the hang of this machine. So we lost some football to the weather, to particularly the women's football today, but obviously Cambridge City, no real surprises. The pitch was waterlogged, so they didn't get to play. Other than that, Cambridge United got a hammering, really. We've told Matt he's not allowed to swear on air, so I think it'll be a very short contribution from Matt today. We've got Ollie in the studio, we've got Mark in the studio, and Steve will join us on the phone, as will Lance Key. And we've got a little bit of audio from the post-match analysis of the Cambridge City Ladies game today, the only women's football that was on. Thanks very much to Polish Waves for the last hour. If you've got anything you want to say, then you can contact us, all the usual ways to do that. You can text us on 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490, or you can email studio@cambridge105.co.uk. So we'll start, as we usually do, we normally start with Cambridge United, don't we? So we'll start with them. I'll get there in the end, honestly. I can do this, really. Cambridge United. I'm just struggling now to find that jingle, but there it is. It's there. So it looks like I can't fade one out when the other's playing, but there you go. That's the way it goes. Go on then, Matt. You can start on this one. Just be careful what you say.
Absolutely dreadful. I'm trying to keep it PG, but it was an absolutely pathetic yesterday. You turn up Forest Green, Tim Pot Club, non-league footballing, should go back there quick as possible. Embarrassment, the way that they sort of treated the away fans when you turned up, you get put in an away bar, which is just a tent outside in the freezing cold, and then you're put into a stand which doesn't even have a roof over the top of it, and that's just before the start of the game, and when it starts raining midway through the first half, and the football, to be fair, the first half probably wasn't too bad, in terms of, like, if you're a neutral and you're going to watch this game of football, you'd be quite entertained by it, but if you're a Cambridge United fan, you're thinking, Jesus, if we don't get a grip here, we might get a bit of a hiding. And
but it's funny, we scored so early on, and we've done that before. And in fact, it was Maris last time when we scored early, and then it kind of looked, it kind of looked like quite good. And then Alito scored, which you kind of think, well, blimey, if Alito's scoring, we're going to win this game. Yeah. But then it kind of really went downhill from there. Mm. But just going back to the facilities, we were chatting beforehand as to whether. It's not for the away fans, it's not a league standard football ground, I don't think, and I don't quite know how they get away with doing that. I could understand it if it was full, and they had nowhere else to put the away fans, but they could have easily compressed all of the home fans into the main stand plus one end, and still had room to spare, and we could have had the other end. So I think it's just appalling. I mean, fortunately, it didn't pour. I mean, if it, there must have been teams who've been down there, and fans have literally got drenched from head to toe, because there's nothing. I mean, you can't even find some cover. There is literally nothing there to find cover under. So, not exactly the way in which they should be treating fans, especially you travel a long way to go and see the game. They've got to do better than that. And I think it's got to be deliberate. It's got to be the way that they've chosen to treat away fans, because all it would have taken would have been some, they could have segregated off part of the sitting area, and they could have given one end away to the away fans, and then those that want to sit down, because there were a number of people who wanted to sit down because they're older and they don't really want to stand up for 90 minutes of football, or 105, 110 including half time and any extra time. So you'd think they have to. You'd think there would be an obligation on them to be able to provide the facilities that, you know, that people would expect. But no, apparently not.
No, well, as I say, they can go back to the conference as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, they're friendly people down there, but it's just, I don't know whether it's the owners of the football club have decided that this is what they want to do and make it as uncomfortable as possible. But, you know, they don't need to do that when the football team's so good at making it as uncomfortable for us as possible. So, but, you know, you're absolutely right, Tim. You know, we scored early. You know, we set a marker down early, and you thought, oh, you know, we might do something here. We started brightly and, you know, played some half-decent football. And then, you know, we let them get back into it. The left wing-back sort of pushed forward. Doidge and Ruben Reid looked a real handful. And, you know, we were struggling to hold, you know, to keep them at bay a little bit. They got the equaliser. It wasn't a particularly good goal defensively. They hit the bar. Then we went down the other end. And as you say, if Medialito scores, then, you know, it's a miracle. And then, you know, you thought, oh, perhaps we'll hold on here till half-time, regroup and really kick on in the second half. But, you know, for all the controversy over the second goal, which, you know, he was about 2 yards offside, and we said yeah. This, didn't we?
And that's the worst thing. It shouldn't be controversial. No. That was, you know, that you see tight offside decisions, and you know the referee and the linesman get, you know, the fraction of a second to make that. But when he's that far offside, there's just no way that should be controversial. It should have just been seen, and that's an end to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, the linesman was useless all game, and the referee wasn't particularly great either. Although I did speak to a home fan after the game who declared that the referee is one of the best refs they've had down there. But as I said to him, it's only because you won.
Trevor Kettle is obviously a regular visitor down there. That's what it is.
It's only because you won, and he was given all the decisions your way. So, but I digress. You know, we won't go into the referee's useless argument again. But you know, second half, and we came out, and for 25 minutes, we absolutely pinned them back, and we were the better team. And you know, we didn't really test the goalkeeper, but we had chances. We got the ball into the box to, as always, absolutely no one. And then, you know, you just thought it might be a matter of time before somebody gets it right and we get something here. You know, we nick another goal, because they weren't particularly good in the second half. You know, they showed really how bad they are. And then they scored. You know, I think we brought Barry Corr on. We went to the diamond formation again. We completely lost the midfield battle from there. And then, as I say, they scored a third, which, I mean, it was a good goal.
The third one was a cracking goal.
It was a cracking goal. And, you know, fair play to the guy that had a strike. But after that, we absolutely crumbled. We were absolutely pathetic. And
for how long will Fordy have nightmares?
Well, and yeah, the fourth goal, it was absolutely shocking. And you're right, you know, he knew, and we all knew. But, you know, just the way that we completely fell apart, nobody took a grip. You know, for Gary Deegan to be the sort of the hard man as such, you know, and as captain, and we've been praising him recently for his captain skills, but he didn't grab anybody by the shirt, or he didn't do anything. He just stood there in the middle of the park, as did the others. So, I mean, Uche, you know, he looked like he was doing okay, you know, didn't look like he had a bad game. But once the third went in, he gave up. And so did the others.
And started shouting
at the fans. And,
which is not
you know,
the way to do it, really, when we've come all that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an absolute, I mean, you have to be there to see it, to believe it, Tim, because, you know, we're really setting some standards this year. You know, you thought we couldn't get any worse last season, but we're really setting the bar low. And, you know, to get beat by five down there, and to show absolutely no fight. And the worrying thing is, for me, even though we're in January, we look like we've given up for the season.
So, I said on the balance of play, they probably deserve to win. They're not a better side than us,
no.
And they are absolutely, certainly not a 5-2 better side than us. That was, and I think I could have taken a draw. I could have even potentially taken a defeat but not a defeat in that way. And I think, you know, I mean, you were saying that on the live stream from the ground, you could hear the abuse that Derry got at the end. And I, you know, I'm not a Derry out or I'm not a Derry in, or I think he is the manager, and they've made a choice now to keep him, presumably till the end of the season, because I can't see any logic in now replacing him. So he's here for good or bad, you know. So unless, of course, he looks like he's going to get us relegated, but I think he's going to have a bit of a torrid time now, because you know, we talked, and we'll hear on the post match that, you know, he brought up the Luton thrashing, and you kind of go, okay, terrible as it was, they are the best side in the league, and they are going to go up probably as champions, if not certainly as second place. But 5-2 against the 23rd team in the league. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's there's no excuse for that at all. And you know, as you say, I think heads went down, and you know, we gave up after, you know, with 20 minutes left to play, and it could have been more. You know, I think we, you know, 5-2 was probably in the end a good result for us, given the way we'd given up at the end.
Yeah.
But you know, If I mean, we say we've got to play well against the players that are in the playoff spots, but it kind of goes without saying that you can't then ignore the ones that are down in the relegation spots.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're going to be scrapping for their lives. And he got some abuse, and you know, and I think the problem is again, and we said it against the Luton, you know, in the Luton game. You know, where's the apology for the 270 people who went down there to watch that rubbish, you know? And that's the politest version of, you know, I can use. But it's the same old. You shouldn't be losing. You're right, you shouldn't be losing 5-2 to a team like that. They're not that much better. Well, they're not better than us, you know, absolutely not better than us. They've got two good strikers. You know, and fair play. You know, Dawidge is a good striker, and he ran Darling and Taylor ragged, and so did Ruben Reid. But you know, to give them some of the criticism that I've seen, I think is very unfair. When people like Jake Carroll was absolutely, I mean, he was awful at left back. Halliday didn't exactly have his best game at right back. I thought he got torn to pieces time and time again. The game was crying out for wingers. Like, second half especially, we were crying out for two out-and-out wingers to be out on that touchline and putting balls into that box, because they had so much space down out wide. And if you can't see that as a manager, you know, you've got one on sitting on the bench. You know, you've got Harrison Dunk, who's kicking his heels. It had torn the fullback to pieces. Yeah. But, you know, we just looked clueless. As I say, I mean, we were all in charge for 25 minutes... And then we went to this silly diamond formation, which just didn't work.
And Ollie made the point specifically that we went to that when we put Core on the pitch, yeah, where you want that kind of delivery for him, and you kind of threw it away.
Yeah, you want the whip. You want the people like wide to whip balls in. And when you got Core and Uche on, that's the main tactic, I guess, to put balls in the box. Them, and it just, I just couldn't believe it. There was no attacking threat when we changed the diamond. It just, the game went completely dead, obviously, apart from them stepping up and hitting us on the break and scoring. But there was no attacking intent or any threat from us at all. It was just, it was like, oh, we might as well go home now. The referee could have blown the whistle at 3-2, really. It was just heads went down, and that was it. And the one thing is, like Matt said, how we collapsed. I mean, it happened at Notts County as well. Heads went down, and we didn't look back. And then again yesterday. So it's just worrying how that keeps happening.
Yeah, like we still don't know. You know, we went through that phase where we didn't know how to close out a football game, but we thought we'd got better at it, but patently obviously not. No. I mean, especially when it's not going well for us. But can you take any positives out of yesterday's game? Because I was struggling. I couldn't really think of a positive yesterday that you could come back with.
No, absolutely not. I don't think there's any. Well, I suppose one very minor positive is Barry Corr got more than 10 minutes, but it wasn't a great sort of 15, 20 minute cameo. And, you know, we've come out particularly worse out of the game. I mean, Billy Waters obviously was a loss. There's no doubt about a dead leg, which was quite interesting.
Isn't this, right, we were saying this beforehand. I can remember in the playground when you're playing British Bulldog and you get a dead leg, and for 5 minutes you have to limp around and give it, you know, give it some rub. But does it really stop a footballer playing a dead leg? I don't get that.
It must have been when he did initiation or something.
Yeah, that's it.
He got the bumps and then dead legged.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting. The last time somebody had a dead leg in the squad, they disappeared for a few months mysteriously, didn't they? Last season.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
It's quite interesting. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Billy Waters losing him before the game is obviously a blow.
That would have been a fantastic game for him. Mm. But again, we were saying beforehand, the interesting thing is that, you know, and Sean referred to it, as we'll hear in a second, in the post-match interview, you know, like, we'd prepared all week for Waters up front, and then, you know, Friday, the last minute of training, he goes down. Mm. And we can't find plan B.
No,
that is really worrying.
I think, as you know, Ollie might agree, it's an excuse and it's an easy cop out for a performance, you know, especially, you know, the last 20 minutes of the second half. That is absolutely unacceptable. As you say, we don't have a plan B sorted out ready. Yeah. I mean, for the squad's probably a little bit stronger now with, you know, we've recruited Waters. I know we've lost Amu. I know Mingoya is injured. But, you know, he's got an option in midfield with Phillips, you know, an extra option that he didn't have before. And, we've got Cole back. And, okay, he's not fit. Aziz, I mean, you might as well not bother coming on. You might have played with eight men in the end. But, you know, did he not think of a plan B? Mm. Obviously not, it seems. He's using the Waters thing as an excuse. Yes, losing Giovanni was a blow, but even then, Giovanni wasn't at his best yesterday.
No.
You know, he really struggled to get going. And, at the end of the day, there's nobody that can sort of be blamed, really, apart from the manager for his wrong tactical substitution midway through the second half that just cost us momentum, and then the players themselves for just dropping their heads and conceding defeat to one of the poorest. I would say it's almost as worse as the Port Vale game, but the Port Vale game we offered absolutely nothing, and that's the lowest point of our season, but this is a close second. We were dreadful.
And the interesting thing is, if you look at the Port Vale game, you look at the Luton game, you look at this game, the common feature across all of those, except take Fordy out in the Luton game, although we lost 7-0, he didn't, you know, I think he played actually as well as he could do, given that he had no cover. But those three games, the entire team suddenly decides to play badly. Mm. It's not like there's one or two people have an off day and you can think, okay, well, there's three or four people on there who've had quite a good game. You can't name anybody from any of those three games who had a good game, apart from Ford in the Luton game, surprisingly.
There's no belief ever when you go two goals down and three goals down, you think they can get back into it. They just seem to drop, and that's got to come from the manager. I think the belief he instills in them, the motivation before the game, is clearly, you know, that there's no plan B. If we go 3-0 down, we do this and we can get back into the game this way. There's just and the plan B, yes, they will go into the diamond, etc. It clearly didn't work. That was the least threatening we looked all match when we made the switch and
push
forward. That was all.
We'll come back to that. We'll just listen to what Sean had to say following the game, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more about that.
Well, Sean, good start, wretched finish.
Yep. Strange game. Real strange game in the afternoon, I thought. It was a wide-open game in the first half. You know, it was a game where I thought we, you know, really played on the front foot, got into some good areas, and, you know, the goals that we scored were good. Well-developed goals, and the goals we conceded were terrible. And then, you know, you go into half-time at 2-2, and then, you kind of try and steady yourselves defensively, and we've been very good, you know, this season defensively. Very, very good. And, you know, we could take a lot of confidence from that at half-time and speak about the amount of clean sheets that we've had, and we was expecting one of them in the second half. And then I thought we'd start the second half, you know, again, on the front foot. I thought we took the game to the opposition and caused them a lot of problems. And then, you know, the third goal is just a bolt out of the blue, right against the run of play, and it knocked us absolutely. It knocked us completely, and we never recovered from it. And then we looked a shadow of what we've looked throughout this season. You know, we looked ill-disciplined, and we looked fragile for that final 15 minutes. And that concerns me, especially after the last four or five games where that isn't what we've looked like. You know, that final 15, 20 minutes didn't replicate what we've seen for large parts of this season.
But it's the second time it's happened. I know last time it was against a, a high-flying side. This time, not so much.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. You know, and again, after the 7-0 away at Luton, obviously you respond by having a couple of clean sheets, and, you know, we responded in the right way, and we've been on that train again where we've been able to, you know, get a run of 4 or 5 games where we've looked like we're a good team again, and that's what we've got to do again. You know, and this is League Two. You can have them types of performances, you know, for parts of the game where you concede, and you concede 2 or 3, and that's what we've shown today.
Underlines you're short of cover at centre-back.
Absolutely. We need a centre-half in, and, you know, the young lad was, I thought he was exceptional last weekend against two very good centre-forwards, and I thought he'd come up against two centre-forwards today, and we didn't have the same outcome, and that's not to put any blame whatsoever on Harry Darling, because he's going to be okay.
But you defend as a team, don't you?
We do defend as a team, and you need to give him that cover, you know, that support in front of him, and we never gave him that support today.
Billy Waters seemed to be a late withdrawal from the side today. This looked like a game tailor-made for him.
We've prepped all week with Billy Waters in the centre-forward position with Uche. You know, Monday to Friday, you work on a system where you feel you can go and exploit the opposition, and then I think it was 3 minutes before the end of training yesterday, he had a collision where, you know, he's got a dead leg that's put him out of the game today, and it's, you know, it is a dead leg. It's nothing too serious, but it was serious enough for him not to play today. So a crushing blow for us, you know, and a crushing blow for the team, because, you know, you prep, don't you? And you want to, implement what you've worked on throughout the week, and we weren't able to do that today.
And then you have Giovanni Brown limp off towards the end.
Hopefully, Giovanni is, you know, hopefully, I mean, we've got 10 days now until the next game. You know, it is a heavy pitch. He has played a lot of football of late, and whether that's a little bit of fatigue, I'm not too sure yet, but I don't want to be losing Billy Waters, and I don't want to be losing Giovanni Brown, because, you know, they're two very, very big players for us, and they will be between now and the end of the season.
It's one of those occasions, 10-day break, so time, hopefully, to get a reinforcement in, hopefully to heal a few wounds, but is it a case of almost wanting to play another game quickly after this?
I'm not too sure. I think we need to focus on the rest of this window in terms of getting the, you know, the right bodies in into the football club. You know, we've been a little bit disappointed that we've not been able to get a centre half in over the last 2 weeks. I think that's imperative now. You know, we desperately need, you know, added numbers at the back there. And so we'll, you know, this 10 days allows us to do that, but it also allows us to lick a few wounds. You know, we have to accept this, that this isn't acceptable in terms of that partly in that game today. We were, you know, we looked a shadow of what we could be.
Didn't look like a side that's kept however many clean sheets this season.
Absolutely not, and we have kept a number of clean sheets, and that's been a massive positive. But today, I think that just highlights when you do miss one or two key players, you know, that type of performance and that type of scoreline can happen against anybody at League Two.
And the fans who made the trip up, standing in the cold, in the rain, not a pleasant experience for them.
Well, I think they, you know, if they're honest with themselves, you know, they would have said that at certain times of the game today, they would have enjoyed the attacking play, but defensively, I don't think they would have enjoyed that at all for the whole 90 minutes, because I sure didn't.
He sure didn't, and nobody else did either. I think he was there at the day. So, but we were just chatting while that was on. Is, you know, I mean, we've made a choice, or the board have made a choice. They came out and said, you know, we'll assess his performance over the Christmas period, and he has a good run over the Christmas period. So they say, you know, he is now the manager. It kind of doesn't make any sense. They won't get. I can't see, unless he goes on an extended losing run, and there's a danger that we might actually get relegated. I can't see that they've got any reason to now get rid of him before the end of the season. You know, it's no cost to us if we let him see out his contract. It's money apparently if we do end up sacking him. So, you know, what do they do? He's just going to have a real bad time of it, and I. You know, in some ways, you might have been better had they got rid of him. But we've made our choice now, and you know. But it's difficult because you could argue that he is the manager. Let's get on with it and let's get behind him. But with a performance like that, it's just almost impossible to think. I mean, I noticed there was still some support there for the Derry Inn, which is good to see, I suppose. But you know, if he turns in another performance, if the team turn in another performance like that, then you know there's going to be nobody left that is on his side. I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you I think you're spot on, Tim. I don't think I've known a manager or a head coach in the past 15, 20 years have as much help and support that he has. But as I say, we go through this season, you know, and he comes back to it about, you know, how we've improved, but we haven't improved, not really. Not, you know, we've always been the bridesmaid and never the bride in terms of the playoffs. And the ambition of the board for the past sort of 2.5 seasons, if you, as I say, if you take out when he took over from Richard Mulley, was right, we're going to get in the playoffs. You know, you allowed in that half a season where, you know, he could have a rejig and have a look at the squad and everything. And, you know, you give him a little bit of leeway there. But really and truly, we've always been 6 points off the playoffs, 9 points off the playoffs, 3 points off the playoffs. Going into the last day, potentially almost could get in it, but never looked like getting in it. And as I say, he's had as much help and support in the last sort of 15, 20 odd years, I think, that any other Cambridge United manager has had. And nothing's improved. And as I say, this is probably some of the worst football I've seen for absolutely ages, and the results are proving it. As I say, you're right, Tim. You take out the 7-0 at Luton, they're a very good side.
Yeah.
They put us to the sword completely. And, okay, yes, all you want is an apology. For me, that's when the tide turned, and I thought, you know, it's time for him to go then. But, you know, as I say, you can take a 7-0 kind of against Luton because they are a good team. But then we go at Port Vale, who are like the second, you know, if they're not the worst team in the league, they're the second worst team. We turn in an abject performance. We lose 2-0 and they were dreadful. And then we go to Forest Green, who, as I say, can't wait for them to go back to the conference, and we get hit for 5. And that's twice in the season that we've conceded 5 or more. And that's been unheard of away from home for a little while, and genuinely over his tenure. So it's not getting better. It's not getting worse, per se. You know, some of the matches, some of the results are potentially worse than what they have been. But, you know, we're just in the middle. We're just stuck in the middle.
So,
there's no ambition.
So the question is, given, I mean, you made this point before we came on air, is that given the attendance we have, which is, it's not bad, but it's not fantastic, and the fact that we don't have, you know, the big money backer like Forest Green Rovers, are we where we should be, and are we just kind of, you know, not being honest with ourselves that we, you know, we will struggle unless we find 3 more Giovanni Browns from non-league football, we'll struggle to compete with the teams that have got money. You know, that seems to, well, we know that's what it is in football now. I mean, you see all the way down to, you know, Coggeshall, you know, and in the Histon level is that, you know, money talks, and we haven't yet got, and I don't, from what I understand, Paul, but the Paul Barry is not a big money backer. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this new investment is, but, you know, is this where we're going to be until we find someone who's prepared to put a fair bit of money into the club?
I think it comes down to recruitment. And I think we can all agree here, you know, as United fans, that the recruitment hasn't been good enough. Mm. You take Accrington as an example, who are up, I think they're third in the league, Ollie, you know. They've been smart with their recruitment. They can't pay as much. They have games called off left, right and centre because their pitch is terrible. But, you know, they've been consistently up there season on season. Exeter are the same. I think Exeter in the last summer were having called a PFA in for wages unpaid because they couldn't pay the staff. They sold off a couple of good players from their youth team, which, you know, as I say, fair play to them. They've put time, money and effort into producing these youth team players that have got, you know, they've given them a go, of course, as well. You know, put them in the shop window. They've sold a few of them. They've steadied the ship. They're building a new away end as well. So, and that's come from absolutely, you know, nowhere. Let's be honest, after, you know, last season when they called in the PFA. And again, they're consistently up there season on season. So I think one of the biggest things for us is that we do need to look at what we're doing. And it comes from recruitment. It comes from the youth team. Yes, I mean, you take yesterday, Harry Darling played fantastically well against Mansfield last week. Didn't look completely out of place. Yesterday, got run a little bit ragged. But it's not his fault because consistency is quite hard at this level for somebody of his age. But after that, you know, when you read, you know, Sean Derry said during the week, oh, we've got interest in some of our young players, you know, but
The thing about that is, though, he moans when people speculate about what's going on, and then he effectively starts a whole load of transfer rumours. That's weird.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, for some of them, if clubs are interested and they make us a half-decent offer, some of them can go. Because, you know, I do, like, you know, he mentioned George Maris. Well, I don't think Maris has done enough particularly to impress me. So if I must be missing something somewhere, because apart from his goal yesterday, he was anonymous again. And he's been like that for the past sort of 5-6 weeks, like Medi Elito. Fortunately, he's not young enough, so that's a bit of a blow. We can't get rid of him. But, you know, Uche, you know, as good as Uche is, you know, he didn't have a particularly bad game until we collapsed. But when we collapsed, you're looking for him to take the ball by the horns and drag us back into the game. And he gave up.
Or he's we've got to see a point where, you know, I mean, we joke about we don't know which Uche is going to turn up, the one that's going to score the world, the other one is going to put it over Newmarket Road. Yeah. But the point is, we need to see that change, and we need to see him, you know, more of the worldies and less of the, you know, the odd efforts that he puts in.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I don't think we're seeing that. He's developed better. He's a lot better than he was when he joined the club, but he now needs to make that step up, and, you know, we'll...
But some of that comes down to the coaching. You know, there's bits in his game that need to be coached by the first team coach, by the head coach and all the people there. As you say, you're absolutely right. You know, he has come on quite a bit from when he first joined, but there's now the big bits that we need, the consistency. Yes, people say he's young and all that, but there's things that now he needs to be coached, and
someone has his back to his goal, just lay it off and then go.
Absolutely.
There's so many times where he just holds on to it too late. He tries to turn into players.
Absolutely.
I think recruitment is a problem. It's been bad for, I mean, the last good window I remember was the one we got promoted, which was 2013, and that's what, all coming up to 5 years ago, which is shocking, really, for a club who wants to, I guess, progress into the Football League and further on. But yeah, I think it's a problem, and, you know, as much as people moan about Darren, you know, rightly so, in some cases there's fingers have got to be pointed at people upstairs as well, because it seems to be a lot of titles and a lot of roles for not much sort of going on. So
there we go. So no football next week. Tuesday night away at Coventry.
I'm going to have a week off again.
Yeah, we don't get beaten next week. That's at least a good thing. So we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll briefly talk about Cambridge City before we go on to Histon, because Cambridge City didn't play, as I said, called off, but they did play a midweek game. So we'll talk to Steve briefly. And then we'll go to Histon. So, quick break.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio. From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So, because the one thing I'm hoping now is that the phone system is fixed. So, let's see if we can actually get in touch with Steve. Because if it isn't, it's going to be... Oh, it's ringing this time. That's always a good sign. So, bear with us a second while he answers the phone. And hopefully it doesn't go to voicemail. Ah, dear. Oh, hello, Steve. Are you there? How are you doing?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I guess no surprise, really. You had your game called off at home yesterday, but you did play midweek.
Yeah. I mean, it was a shame it was off, because I mean, the performance midweek was fantastic. Probably one of the best performances of the season, if not the best. I mean, it had everything. We were brilliant. So I think the lads would have wanted to have kept that momentum going yesterday. But of course, the scenario of pitch is looking worse for wear and taking a bit of a battering with the rain. So it's not great. But certainly, Tuesday was fantastic. I thought it had everything in terms of a complete performance, which, you know, we've obviously scored a lot of goals this season, and not kept clean sheets, but we did both on Tuesday, and I thought we were clinical as well. And we wrapped it up in the first 20 minutes with three goals. We were brilliant early on. And full credit to everyone. I think Ben Robinson was the standout man, because he scored one and assisted two from right back, which was pretty phenomenal. And everyone had a brilliant game, and I thought, you know, they were really on it from the first whistle. And they were professional throughout, when obviously, you know, 3-0 up, you know, they could have took the foot off the gas and they didn't. And Kempston, you know, had a go second half, and we withstood it. So I thought it was a brilliant performance. And and one that we thoroughly deserved to win. I thought it was definitely something to build on going forward. That's a sort of benchmark, you know, in terms of everyone being at it and everyone getting their A game and obviously getting the results. So, yeah, very pleasing. And as I say, shame about Saturday, but hopefully we'll go again for the next game.
And you've got two bottom of the table clashes coming up with Fleet and then Hanwell. So I think they're third bottom and fourth bottom, I think. So hopefully you get back into it and a couple of easy games to ease you back into it.
Well, you know, I'm playing for yes. I think Fleet, funny, I mean, they've picked up a little bit of late. I do hope us, you know, as you say, we should win on paper. But, you know, we have got some draws away at teams sort of in around that area. And you know, I think the key thing to take from Tuesday is that clinical. Because when we've not won games and drawn, we should have, it's because we've only been one goal ahead when we should have put the game to bed. And we did that on Tuesday. But if you don't do that, while the opposition are only one behind, they always give people have a chance. No matter where they are on the table, they think they have a chance. And sometimes they've, you know, come giving them hope and they've got that equaliser, for example. So I think, you know, yes, absolutely, we should win. Hanwell on Monday were difficult because although they're down there, they were actually one of the better sides I thought we played. Certainly their strengths were set pieces. They're very, very good in terms of that guy who delivered a good corner and a good free kick. And I think it scored from both their goals from set pieces. So they are, I think they're a bit of a false position. They went and beat Ashford yesterday as well, convincingly. So I'm not as convinced that'll be an easy game. But I certainly, look, I think, you know, we know what they're about. We can plan for it. And given our kind of momentum with that result, if we continue that against Fleet, then yes, I think we should win. So yeah, you're right on paper. And if we do get two straight wins, it completely changes the picture because it's still very tight at the top. So hopefully we can put pressure on, you know, the top two, really.
And Ryan Charman has scored 23 league goals now. I mean, is it going to be difficult to keep hold of him?
No, I think what the club have done is they've signed him on a proper contract. So we players sign kind of non-contract forms, so they sort of register, if you like, at this level. I think it goes even higher than you know, the Premier Division and even Conference South. Players register, so they're their player, but contractually, I think there's sort of different rules, you know, in terms of transfers. You know, a club can approach a non-contract player and say, well, I want to get you within sort of make a seven-day approach. And that's why you see a lot of club players coming and going throughout the season at this level. What we've done with Ryan Charman is put him on a proper kind of Football League contract, an FA contract, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken. And that ties the same rules as almost like pro players, I think. So therefore, if a club came in at any level now, they would have to pay a fee for him, which obviously puts some off. I think there's something about Bosman ruling, but to be honest, I'm not completely up to date with that. But it's also something about his age where, you know, if they're under a certain age, we offer the same terms for next season. If he goes, there is then a kind of fee negotiated on our behalf and we get something on that as well. So I think the club have tried to protect in him, and he's said openly that, you know, he wants to stay. So that, you know, I think the two, you know, yes, of course, him 23 goals, it will turn some heads in the league. But you know, the great thing is Robbie's got him some loyalty. You know, they get on that he's playing every week. He enjoys, looks like he enjoys it. He's getting goals, and I think his aim, like a lot of the lads, is to push themselves and go get themselves promoted so they can test themselves at a higher level. So you know, it's great that he's been fit this season. I think that's the key thing, because, you know, last season we didn't get the best out of him. We absolutely have now, and I think he's got players around him that are great and they're creating for him. He's clever, you know, his arrival into the box and stuff, and his aerial ability, and he's playing in the right position. He's playing when he's fit. So, you know, a lot of positives. But yeah, I think the club have been quite sensible in sort of protecting one of their best assets, if you like, because I think it's a cost thing. I think the reason that, you know, loads of players aren't on proper contracts is purely a cost thing. It costs money to do, but it also per se protects us, but it also shows that we do want to hang on to our best players. If it's a Football League club, you know, in the past we or a much higher team, then, you know, we've never stopped players progressing and doing well. That's not what we're about. So as a club, I think we'd always, you know, look to do that, but certainly we wouldn't let somebody go for free or, you know, who's doing well. We want to sort of, you know, kind of protect ourselves from that sort of thing, him going maybe to another local club. So I think it's a good move, and yeah, you know, we're hoping to be part of not just this season but next and beyond as well.
Just quickly, I mean, we've talked about the pitch before, but obviously, you know, it must be a concern that, I mean, there's not really a lot you can do about it. It is what it is now for the rest of the season. And if it's water again, that's the problem. You know, there's plenty of that around at the moment.
And I don't know what the answer is. You know, I mean, I think that they tried to. I thought it was improving year on year. I mean, if you look at the first grounds this season, it was horrendous. We had loads of postponements, and that was a wet winter. Last season, we didn't have any. It just happened to be that I think the wet get days fell on the St Ives home game themselves. So they had a couple, but it was a lot better. And I thought, okay, the winter wasn't as wet, but certainly I thought they'd managed the pitch a bit better. They'd sort of let the grass grow early in the season. So it's a bit long, and it was a bit unfortunate early on, but it was with a view to protecting it later in the season. I thought that worked okay. This season, you know, it's been good up to now, but then, of course, you know, since the turn of the year, absolutely, it's been horrendous. And I think, you know, unfortunately, I was a bit, personally, and I'll say this, I didn't really like the fact that St Ives played on it earlier in January, but they had a local derby with St Mears. I think they were very keen to get that game on, and really, you know, that's cut the pitch up, that's made it worse. I think if they hadn't have played there, we would have had half a chance with some of these games. So I think it's, you know, one game on it where it's become absolutely horrendous has actually made it worse long term, and I'm a bit disappointed that they saw that they really wanted to get that on when they could have perhaps waited and played it later in the year, because it didn't make a difference. It would still be midweek for them, you know, and I think that decision was a poor one, but I know I wasn't there, so I suppose I can't comment. But what it's done is it has created that. I mean, we don't want to have too many more postponements because it will create a backlog, but the good thing is we have got our games in already so far. We're not behind. If you look at the table, most teams have played 25, so we're on par, but certainly, yeah, you wouldn't want much more of this because it does affect rhythm. You know, I mean, look, it's playing on a Monday night for us is okay because other teams probably won't want to fancy coming to us on a Monday, you know, particularly if it's places like, I don't know, Fleet or whatever, a bit further afield, but, you know, they won't want to do it. But it doesn't help us particularly. And obviously, as the games come later in the year, we definitely don't want to have a backlog going into the running. So I'd be keen that they try and sort it. I don't know what the answer is, and what a groundsman. But Robbie is by trade, actually, I think he was a groundsman. So I think he has had a hand in some of the work there. Obviously, he doesn't work at St Ives Pitch. He's got his own job somewhere else. But I think he does know this stuff about it. So I think he's been advising them. And hopefully that can do something. But obviously, as you said, it's at the mercy of the elements, so we can't do a lot about that. So hopefully it's a dry week. And they get it sorted and we can carry on, go back into playing on, you know, every Saturday, really.
Excellent. Well, hopefully we'll see you. We'll see you with on the phone next week with a game having been played. Thanks very much for joining
Thanks.
Us, Steve.
Cheers then.
So there you go, Steve. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Histon.
Broadcasting from the city centre
on FM, digital, and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So when we come back, we'll be talking all things history.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city, there's a village green. It's been a long time since I last set eyes on the church with the steeple.
So Histon, definitely the team to beat at the moment. I mean, you know, they've been on smaller winning runs during part of the season. But, Ollie, you looked at last week, isn't it? It's some 2009 since they'd gone on five years. Yeah, a long time anyway. And, you know, you've kind of seen games where they've gone on those kind of mini runs before, but it's always been, you know, against the lower teams. But this time, Coggeshall, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. A fantastic win against a strong side. Lance reckons they're going to be the ones to beat, although you now disagree. You think Felixstowe are the ones to beat. Mm. But top of the table clash yesterday with Felixstowe. And again, they lost the 100% record in the run, but still unbeaten with a point. 16 from 18 now out of the last six games, yeah. Which is stunning performance.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot, really, when the players come off the field disappointed that they haven't snatched the 3 points. I mean, it was a very good game of football. The conditions were pretty terrible, given the weather that we've had. But fair play to whoever's been involved in getting the pitch sorted so the game could actually go ahead, because I know games in and around us were getting postponed left, right and centre. So
yeah, it was good to get it on because yeah, there was a lot of people there, and you know, it was always going to be a quality clash, and it was. It proved to be a really good game of football. Certainly, there was more quality on the pitch compared to the Cockleshaw game. I mean, maybe Cockleshaw were having a bit of an off day, but I certainly think Felixstowe were probably, in my eyes, the best team that I've seen visit the Glasshole, this stadium, and it's quite obvious as to why they're top. They're just a fantastic attacking unit, and especially the first half, you could see they moved the ball so quickly from either side, and really they were running the midfield. We were chasing shadows ever so slightly, and really had to show a bit of mental and physical resolve to keep them out, because there was two or three fairly good chances where they could have gone ahead, and we've had to get bodies on the line quite frequently in the first half. So you know, we've done well to sort of stay in the game. Like I say, conditions are quite hard to play football in, and I think they adapted to those conditions quite well first half. But you know, I think we've sort of hit our stride as the game's gone on, and it's slightly unfortunate to go one down. It was a strange goal, really. It was a free kick. I think it was conceded by Rob Ruddy, and it was in shooting distance on the right-hand side. And I'm not sure whether Sam Roach, our goalkeeper's not been quite ready for the free kick, or whether he's not picked it. But I mean, it's the free kick's fairly well struck, but it's one of those ones where it's not dead into the corner, and it's, I mean, there's a little bit of pace on, but it just seemed to fly over Sam, and he's sort of stuck in the mud as he's watched it go over him. So it is a bit of a shame to concede that kind of goal, but we responded really well, and I think Joe Sutton's come on to get the assist, and he's done really well to get into the game. So it's one of those ones where I think, as a manager, when you're playing well against a team with the quality of Felixstowe, you don't really want to change it up too much.
Yeah.
But I think he's had to at least make one change to try and inject a bit more sort of life and quality into our attacking as well, because it was, I mean, this is only a very slight criticism, but I think, reminiscent of sort of earlier on in the season, we've done very well to get into the final third, but then we've not been as critical as we could be in the box, and our finishing maybe at times had sort of let us down, and I think that's probably why we were slightly disappointed to go away without the 3 points, because there were three or four chances where we could have gone in front, but we've just not quite made it happen. But our goal was very well worked, and Joe's managed to pick the ball outside the box, and he's floated a lovely cross in for Rolf to get a goal. And I can't remember if it was shortly after, before or after, but they've had a man sent off for a second yellow. So for about 20 minutes, we've had the man advantage, and you know, we really made it pay. I think you know, the one difference, I suppose, between the two was that Cogashaw, I think they sort of still went for broke when they went a man down. So I guess they felt they could, but Felixstowe, I suppose, wanted to do everything not to lose. And drop more points, and so really for that 20 minutes we've made the extra man advantage count, and we've played some lovely football. And like I say, I think the boys were slightly disappointed not to make it count, but you know, listen, it's still a fantastic result. We're six games unbeaten now, and I think someone sent me some stats. I think in the last 13 we've won 10, drawn 1 and lost 2, and scored, I think it's 36 and conceded 16. So it's, yeah, it's a fantastic run, and you know, like I said, there's such a buzz about the place. There was 257 fans there, albeit I know Felixstowe took a good amount, but there was still a lot of people there, you know, considering. And yeah, I think we're really well set up now just to have a good attack at the top sort of three or four towards the end of the season. And yeah, we're kind of see what happens. I think now, seeing that Felixstowe's out of the way, we've got Brantham and I think it's Brantham and Stowmarket, which are the top two that we're still yet to play. But other than that, Everyone else is pretty much below us, yeah. So the fixtures sort of play into our hands as well, so it could be very interesting.
And it's interesting, there's kind of a tiny bit of a gap opening up. I mean, you're only three ahead of Newmarket, who are directly below you, but you've got two games in hand over them, and you've actually got two or even three games in hand over everybody all the way down to 11th place Saffron Walden. So kind of a bit of a gap opened up between yourself and the kind of the rest of the teams.
Like I say, we've worked ourselves well into that position now, and it's really up to us now to try and make the most of that. We're certainly, I think, in for a bit of a tussle with God Manchester, who were equal on points with slightly down on goal difference. So, you know, that'll be an interesting battle towards the end of the season. We've still yet to play them, I think, in March. So that'll be an interesting encounter as well, another tough game. But like I say, I think other than that, we've got on paper quite a lot of fixtures we should be winning. So if we can keep this run going and make it count, then a top three or four finish could well be on the cards.
Yeah, I was just looking at the fixtures. You've got Haverhill are next in line, and they're all the way down in 20th. So hopefully a relatively easy game. Then you've got Fakenham and then Brantham, as you say, who are sitting second in the league because Coggeshall have got games in hand and I've obviously dropped points recently against some team. I can't remember who that was.
But Coggeshall did actually, they lost to Brantham.
They're right, okay.
And Brantham actually went a man down and were 1-0 down and came back to win 2-1. So I think that's definitely going to be a difficult game as well.
Yeah. But you say, I mean, Haverhill and Fakenham 20th and 22nd in the league. So hopefully, you know, those kind of games are going to be the ones that separate you from the rest of the team. Yeah. We'll see if we can get Lance on the phone. I did check and he said he's okay. So it's just a question of whether he answers or whether it goes to voicemail. So it's ringing. That's good. Hopefully he'll be there, but he must be. Hey Lance, how you doing?
I'm very well, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. So you said you were enjoying your football around about the Christmas time. You must be really, really enjoying your football at the moment.
Yeah, it's gone well of late, I must admit. Obviously the good one we had at Christmas, and then obviously we've backed up with a good one in January as well. Obviously getting 4 points off the top two teams in the last 2 weeks has been a great result for us.
And you talked, obviously, six places, you know, you want to aim to be in the top six there, and there's kind of a little bit, although the gap between yourself and Newmarket is only 3 points currently, you have got games in hand over them, so there is a small gap opening up there to cement you into that top six.
Yeah, like I said, obviously, the top six was our aim. We're in there at the moment, and like you said, we have games in hand. We have teams to play above us as well, which obviously we can, it's in our own hands, in essence, to try and affect that. We have God Manchester coming up in March, I think, away on a Wednesday night, which could be a real humdinger because, you know, it could be a proverbial six-pointer. But yeah, we're about where we want to be right now. And obviously, if we have an even better push towards the end of the season, then who knows where we might end up.
And as the statistics show, you've been scoring lots of goals and, you know, nicely not conceding any. You know, that must be, you know, that must be the real bonus for you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, we only got the one yesterday, but it was an important one. But yeah, we look for it every week at the moment. We're creating lots of chances and we don't give much away at the back either. So it's a good combination and it's going quite well for us at the moment.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Lance. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks very much. So there we go. Yeah, it's all going swimmingly, really, for Histon at the moment. Certainly, I mean, of all the teams, you know, they are the top team in Cambridgeshire at the moment in terms of form, certainly.
Yeah, it's strange, but you know, we'll certainly take it. It's been a long time coming, and yeah, it's nice to see everyone with a bit of a smile on their face around the glass world for a change. And you know, long may it continue.
And as you say, it's good to get people in there. And you know, as I say, I gave up that game yesterday for the Forest Green Rovers, and bitterly regret it. Not only because of the travel distance, but your facilities are far better at Histon than they are elsewhere.
I was about to say, you get a seat and a roof. Yeah. And a burger with meat in it.
I've changed my mind about that one. They probably shouldn't make it all vegan. They should give you the option. I don't think they should force you, but actually the food was fine. But there you go. So just a quick on the women's football, the Cambridge United game, the League Cup against Coventry. For I think this is the third time they've tried it now, so they're going to have to go again because that was waterlogged or snowed off. And then the Histon game, presumably because they want to keep the pitch in good condition, that was also postponed. So it was only Cambridge City Ladies. They played in the Cambridge Invitational Cup against ICA Sports, which I think based in Peterborough, I think, but I couldn't swear to it. An interesting game. They went one down in seconds, and I think it was because nobody was actually watching the ball at the time because the management team weren't out on the pitch. The team had literally late to the pitch. They just came out onto it, and they'd gone one down. They managed to go in 2-1 up at half time, but making hard work of it, they were all over. I mean, I think 35 minutes of the first half was played in the ICA Sports half, and I think 42 minutes of the second half was played in their half. But they just kept hitting it at the keeper, so it wasn't going very well for them. This is what Tim Rapley, the first team manager, had to say following the game. Not ideal weather for football. It's a bit cold, but caught by surprise at the start with a very quick goal, but really dominated the rest of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was still kind of in the change room, actually, when they'd scored, so didn't see much of it. Bit of a shock, yes. I think the conditions were pretty horrendous first half with the wind and the snow coming down still. But we got back into the game quite quickly and pretty dominant. Fully deserved, I think.
I think a bunch of chances went missing, really, as well. 2-1 at half-time, but two very quick goals in the second half really opened the game up for you.
Yes, it did, because I was actually quite impressed with ICA in the first half. I thought they sort of asked a few questions of us, but I think we came out of the blocks quite quickly second half and very much dominated the proceedings then. I don't think our keeper did have many touches at all in the second half. So we're pleased with the girls' performance. Tough for both sides due to the weather. Pleasing result.
And I guess disappointing that you couldn't keep that the clean sheet, but as I say, caught a bit by surprise, perhaps not quite started the game.
Yeah, I think so. Although in a cup game, it's just to get through the next round, isn't it, really? That's the most important thing. I'm more interested in clean sheets in league games, to be honest with you. But it was a rude awakening to start with, but I think our sort of superiority showed in the end.
And I think we agreed in the end, four goals for Bella Simmons as well.
Yes, Bella done very well. She reminded me that she actually scored with her head, which is very unusual for Bella. She's not the tallest of players, so I think she was quite delighted with that. But she's a live wire in these sorts of games, and she deserved the four goals.
Excellent, thanks very much. Okay, I should have said apologies for the wind noise. That was the wind and not anything else. But it was freezing cold that game. I had to go at half time. I had to go and sit in the car. That's about all we've got time for this week. Do stay tuned. You've got next Sweet Revenge, Chris and Beck joining us, and we will see you next week. Hopefully, well, which we won't be able to talk about Cambridge United because they won't have played. But hopefully, City will have got a game. Histon will have got a game, and some more women's football, but we'll talk to you then. Thanks very much for joining us, and as I say, 6 o'clock next week, but stay tuned for Sweet Revenge coming up after the break.
Cambridge 105 Radio.